He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday, November 24th, a shortened week in the market. We will have four trading days, so plenty of action ahead. And right now, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, by the way. The NASDAQ is up 425 points. Boy, what got into the NASDAQ today? I think the NASDAQ is hopeful, once again, for a rate cut in December. That seems to be a big driving force in the market, as always, the Fed. The Dow is only up 91, however. That's 20 basis points. It's at 46,336. So the action, obviously, in tech and AI and all the rest right now so far. S&P is up 53 points. That's 80 basis points. The S&P's at 66.55. I saw one call for 8,000 next year. Do I hear 9,000? Well, we'll get to that 8,000 call here in a bit. At the same time here, we've got the Russell 2000 up 0.5% so far, 11 points, 23.81. And we do have bonds down a little bit. The 10-year's at 4.05. And the embattled Bitcoin market, last I looked, it was down $415. Now it's down $911 per coin to $85,826. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this Monday, the week of thankfulness and Thanksgiving, 11/24/2025. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Jeff Webster today, who's filling in for Barry. And we should have some good, lively, interesting conversation. There's quite a bit of news on this Monday. Right now, it's all about a rebound in the NASDAQ, at least today. We've had quite a sell-off in the AI stocks. We had that huge reversal day last week, which was quite stunning. That was last Wednesday when NVIDIA reported earnings. It was actually Thursday was the reversal day. Wednesday was the NVIDIA report. Everything opened up hunky-dory, and within a few hours of the market, had all turned around, and the selling picked up. And I think it pretty much is the Fed, what's coming out of the mouth of the Fed, that those high PE AI stocks are hanging their hat on right now. And then since then, on Friday, we heard from another Fed governor saying, I think there's room for another cut here in 20. And some of the reports that came out also lean in that direction. I think it's still 50-50 at best. And today we've got the guy I like. My vote for the next Fed president is for Waller. I'm for Waller. I got my bumper sticker on my car. And he's calling for a rate cut in December, Jeff. What do you think? Where do you put the odds? Are you 50-50, 60-40? Where's your money on right now, Jeff?
I'm thinking that it's 50-50 with a slight leaning to no movement.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty good. That's about where I am, too. And it's like the San Diego Padres. I'm 50-50 with a slight leaning to will not make the playoffs next year. You know, that's the Dodgers, they're already in. Let's just print the tickets now. I mean, the Dodgers will be in the first round of the playoffs. You know, the Bitcoin market, too, I think it's definitely impacted. It definitely has put fear in the market. When you see an asset class that so many people have exposure to nowadays just absolutely get taken to the cleaners, that scares it spooks the rest of the market, because all of a sudden you've got a risk-on asset that is kind of in free fall, really, from 125,000 down to 85,000. That's a big, big drop. That's bear market. That's over 30%. I've kind of been along the way in my newsletter for the last couple of months have kind of been showing you this timeline that's been taking place and kind of week by week the deterioration in the crypto market. I can't really tell you what's caused it. There's a lot of things about Bitcoin I can't really explain. I do think it is tied to interest rates somehow. But I've always said, you know, as long as people are buying and there's no selling, no sellers breaking the accumulation and driving the price higher, it's okay. But when some selling, there had to be some significant selling somewhere. We don't really know where it comes from. And, you know, selling begets selling. And the more the Bitcoin dives, people are all of a sudden going, oh, I wish I would have sold it at 125,000. Oh, I wish I would have sold it at 120. Oh, I wish I would have sold it at 115. I better sell it now at 110 before it goes down any further. Well, if they did that, that was the right choice because after that it went clear down to 85. Other people are white-knuckling it and saying, you know, we've been through this before with Bitcoin and like the roller coaster ride, that roller coaster eventually hits the dip and starts to climb again very slowly, creeping higher before the next cascade downwards. That's kind of the Bitcoin market from my perspective, but that definitely spooks. That did put fear into the market. What's your take? Are you a bit? Would you put your savings into Bitcoin, Jeff? Do you think it's a great alternative?
No, sir.
You're not a fan.
I like assets that perform. I like assets that produce something, not something that merely the value is based on if someone's willing to pay a higher price than what I paid for it.
Well, I'm in the same way. That's why you work with us. You have the same mindset that we do, right? When I was back on Wall Street in January of this year, I couldn't believe like 9 out of 10 of the guys being interviewed during that one or two. I sat in the studio while they were filming those interviews. 9 out of 10 of them said the best bet in the market this year is Bitcoin. And I'm just sitting there going, man, you know what? I've been in the market for 25, 26 years. I just don't like it. And, of course, my top pick for the year was Palantir, which was the biggest winner in the S&P 500 this year. Which brings up my next question here. Do you know, Jeff, I saw a startling statistic in my newsletter over the weekend. The software sector, which I measure it through an ETF called IGV, is now only up 1.8% for the year. What happened to the software sector?
People just aren't investing in those types of applications right now. A lot of the software that's mission critical, companies have those positions already in place. And, you know, with budgets tightening up and the uncertainty with the economy, leaders are just saying, you know what, let's get by with what we have. It works. We don't need to necessarily, you know, there's certain applications that we will invest in, but unless it's mission critical to how we do things, and it's a nice to have, we're gonna shelf that and come back to it at a later time.
Yeah, you know, and I've always found that the software sector leads the NASDAQ. It and the chip sector, those are the two leaders in the NASDAQ. But generally speaking, when the software sector starts to go, and conversely, when it's the first one to start rolling, when the NASDAQ's getting ready to make a run again. And it did that in late, March, early April. It was the software sector that first picked up its boots and got up and started running and led a huge rebound in the NASDAQ, which came to an end about 2 weeks ago when the Fed said, I don't think we're going to do a December rate cut. Definitely not guaranteed by any means. And I think the software sector has kind of led the market downwards, the CrowdStrikes, the Palantirs, the Palo Alto Networks. And then you've got some that are way, way down and showing no signs of life whatever. I keep looking at Adobe at the P.E. ratio it's at right now, like 15, 16. That is dirt cheap. But there's no signs of life in the stock whatsoever. So you know what? I'm just going to sit and wait and twiddle my thumbs and wait for that software sector to start picking up steam once again.
Well, even, Bill, even the, you know, the stalwarts like Salesforce. I mean, Salesforce, year to date, is down almost 32%.
And it's a terrible chart. And its competitor, HubSpot, also has a terrible chart. I call it a chart to hell, is what it's been like. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. NVIDIA chart has really not done much since that big report that they had. And I think one of the issues continues to be China, where their market share went to whatever. Well, they had 100% market share in the high-end chips. Now they have a 0% market share because they're not allowed to sell the high-end chips.
Yeah, no line item there, Bill, on the... on the NVIDIA in China here, this last report.
No, but it Howard Lutnick today is saying that the decision to allow the NVIDIA to export its H200 chips to, well, that's not even the Blackwell chips, that's just H200. It currently sits on the desk of the U.S. President Donald Trump. So, and it's my understanding that China's not really interested in the H200 chips. They seem to want the Blackwells. I don't see much hope there to really kick NVIDIA. I don't know what the catalyst would be to kick it into gear. I mean, what more can it do after that big earnings report and a nice bump the next day? And then, man, it gave it all up. It's just a kind of a dull chart right now. I'm happy to have sold half of it. And I'm happy to still own the other half. That's the way I would look at it right now. I think maybe I'm feeling an article coming on NVIDIA and, you know, just data from the app. What's been the performance of NVIDIA? Pretend like you've never known about the stock before. You just found it. What's the performance been and what's the valuation look like over the next 5 years? I think it still looks pretty favorable. It's just in the doldrums right now with most of the other AI stocks, although they're having a pretty decent day today. Well, there is quite a bit of movement over the weekend and the last few days of the week with Ukraine. That was pretty encouraging, actually. Even Russia
and
saying...
Marco Rubio over there,
yeah,
making it happen.
Yeah, I mean, even Putin is saying, you know, we may have the framework here. It must be pretty favorable to Putin and Russia, which, I mean, it should be. He's kicking their butt, what can I say? And Ukraine, I mean, is able to at least hold their ground. But in the meantime, the country is just getting destroyed. Kiev is just getting destroyed. And so maybe, just maybe, and, you know, one of the indicators is if we're getting close or not, the European defense stocks are way down today amid efforts to end the Ukraine war. Boy, if we got that one behind us, we literally wouldn't have any major skirmishes in the world. The situation in Nigeria is not good. That one is very disturbing. I wish we could do something about that to see these children being kidnapped. And, of course, there's the Venezuela situation right now where, you know, I learned, Jeff, that Iran has a large presence in Venezuela, okay? And that's one of the reasons that Trump is really turning up the heat to try to break Iran's hold. They've sent a lot of Hezbollah there who have joined hands with the drug lords. And that's a pretty evil force down there in Venezuela and a pretty evil guy leading that in Maduro. And I think there's going to be some kind of change there fairly soon, too. But anyways, that's another hot spot in the world. Another hot spot. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Bill, I've been to Venezuela numerous times on business, you know, a number of years ago. Such a beautiful people, beautiful country. And it's just a shame to see what is happening there.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a ride home from the airport with an Uber driver who fled Venezuela with his family. And now he lives in Somerville and loves living in America. But he showed me pictures of fish. He used to go fishing all the time. And I think it's the Amazon River flows through Venezuela, right? Doesn't it end up?
In the interior there, you've got the peacock bass there.
Yeah, that's what he was showing me pictures of. He said he fed his family from fishing. He showed me the lures that he used and everything. So anyways, the other big issue we have here at home, and they're working on it, is Obamacare. And, you know, that's what really was at the crux of the big government shutdown. Because without the subsidies, the heavy subsidies by the government, Obamacare's not working. And, of course, the Republicans never gave in to the subsidies. Seems like the Democrats finally just had to cave to get the government back up and running again. But anyways, this week, Trump is expected to announce a framework to cut health care costs. And it seems like he wants to go around the insurance companies and give the money directly to the, you know, the consumer, and let them spend it how they will. But anyways, look for some action this week. I know Dr. Oz is in there working on it, and they're going to call it the Healthcare Price Cuts Act. Healthcare premiums are just out of control, Jeff. I mean, you know what it's like. Yep. I know what it's like. Of course, I'm on Medicare now, which isn't too bad. I don't know how much I've paid into it all my life, whether I ever get the benefits from that. But healthcare premiums for a family, it's $26,000 is the average premium now for a family. Something's got to be done there. It's just out of control. Well, but I wouldn't want to be a healthcare insurer right now. It seems like they're definitely in the eye of the storm, and Trump not happy with them. Now, how about this story over the weekend? India wants to make fighter jets. I think this happened maybe last Thursday or Friday. And, of course, they want to make them, GE, making the engines for those fighter jets. So they had a bunch of dignitaries from other countries at the Dubai air show. They're showing off their new fighter jet, and it crashed and burned. So I don't know if they got any orders after that. But that's India's state-run Hindustan Aeronautics. They're trying to reassure the stakeholders that last week's deadly crash of a Tejas fighter jet during an aerobatic performance in Dubai won't derail the company's operations or delivery schedule. It could have been pilot error. Could have been nothing to do with the actual equipment. Could have been.
I mean, that's the ultimate demo fail, Bill. You know, coming from high tech where, you know, you'd present your product or what have you, and you always wanted to put your best foot forward. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I remember Elon Musk, when the Cybertruck, the first prototype came out, and he took the sledgehammer and slammed the window, and it broke the window. And he had kind of an expletive deleted that had to be deleted when that happened. That's kind of the ultimate. That's kind of the ultimate test too. Or standing in front of the guys, you know, on CNN and or CNBC, and you're presenting your invention, and it starts smoking and burns up or whatever. That happened to me. I was in the eighth grade, and we had to put wires around some kind of little bar, and then you plug it in, and it started spinning. The teacher was grading me, and mine started spinning faster and faster, and then it took off and hit the ceiling and was burning. I got a F on that project. We'll be right back.
Boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And, of course, the market will be closed on Thursday. I don't know if Friday's a half day. Probably not. It's probably a full day on Friday. Anyways, I would expect some pretty light action in the market by Wednesday afternoon. Not at the airports, Jeff, but in the trading pits. A lot of traders will be headed out of town. But I think it's going to be pretty hot and heavy up until then. My next question here for you all, and I'm going to give you my the way I analyze this thing, has Bitcoin bottomed? Well, you know, the only way I can judge Bitcoin, since I can't do a valuation on it, since I don't know what the demand for it is because nobody uses it in any product, the supply we kind of know, but the chart is really is the most valuable tool we have to look at. And I use GBTC because it has a longer track record. You know, those Bitcoin ETFs don't have a very long track record, maybe 2 years, maybe. Whereas Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust has like a 6, 7, 8 year track record now. And I, just from looking at it, I see another 10% pretty heavy downside risk before it really starts to hit some good support. It does have a little bit of support here at this level that it's at right now, but not very much. I see the risk leaning towards another 10% to the downside. Now, the other thing I look at is the inverse Bitcoin, which is Bitty. And Bitty has been a very profitable trade here. Bitty has gone from 16.5 to 25. So that is 9. That's about a 50% move in the inverse. It's not leveraged. It's 1-to-1. And I do have a little bit of Bitty. It's done well. But I don't see any resistance in Bitty here. You still got more upside in Bitty. In fact, it's trading at 24. I see it going to at least 26, maybe even 28. Still has more upside potential. Now, that's just from a technical point of view. So I'm saying the inverse Bitcoin has another 10% upside potential. Of course, it's already up 50%, so you're kind of at the tail end of that. You missed the big move in it, and the Bitcoin ETF to me still has another 10% downside risk to it. And I think until that stabilizes, it did a little bit over the weekend, but until that stabilizes, I think it's going to continue to throw a little bit of nervousness and jitters into the stock market. And it's got to be a source of funds. If somebody's getting a margin call on their Bitcoin account, they've got to sell some Robinhood stock or some Interactive Broker stock or whatever else they might own. And I have seen those stocks that are tied to what a Bitcoin holder might own in the stock market. That's why they've been so weak. And I think the AI stocks are tied to Bitcoin also. So anyways,
Bill, you mentioned Robinhood, Bill. Did you see that Robinhood now is going to start delivering cash to people's houses?
Well, are they going to use DoorDash?
They're going to use a company called GoPuff, and they will. They've already rolled it out in New York City, and so you can now, in addition to having your pizza, your you know, your Asian cuisine or your sandwich delivered to your house. You can have cash delivered to your house if you have a specific type of Robinhood account.
Well, I see the crime rate going up in New York City. I mean, I hope these guys aren't wearing a uniform or something. Cash delivery on, you know, just call us and we'll deliver the cash.
That's right.
But, you know, believe it or not, it is pretty hard to get cash out of a bank these days. You know, all kind of red flags go up. And so when I was in San Diego, you know, I had a big fishing boat, a little fishing boat, an older fishing boat. It was a good, sturdy little boat. And I hired a guy to drive it 1,000 miles to Cabo. Jeff, and leave it there. Actually, up the Cape a little bit to La Paz. He turned the corner up to Sea of Cortez, left the boat in La Paz. And he said, Bill, they don't take credit cards along the way. I'm going to have to stop many times and fill up with gas, you know, because the range was maybe 300 miles or so. So he had to fill up three or four times. I had to give him $10,000 in cash, okay? Well, I take $10,000 in cash out of the bank, give it to the guy to go to Mexico to fill it with gas and buy some food and provisions along the way. About a week later, I get a letter from J.P. Morgan where I had my account saying, we're closing your account, pal. Tough luck. Go get another. I had a business account with them for years, and the only thing I can point to, and they wouldn't tell me why, which really was aggravating. And I went to other banks, and I got the same answer. No, you can't open an account with us. The only thing I can point to is taking that $10,000 in cash out of the bank, which was for a legitimate reason. It is my money, right? $100 bills. And it caused me all kinds of heartache because of that. So that is a problem. I know
maybe
gold.
Maybe Robinhood needs to introduce a shipping guys cruising around in little boats delivering cash to the guys that need to put some diesel fuel in their boat.
You know, there are freighters that carry boats, but the price is astronomical. Where you drive the boat onto the freighter when they're headed to Cabo San Lucas with three or four other sport fishers, right? It wasn't in my league, that's for sure. Okay, here's that macro call from Deutsche Bank. The S&P is poised for 8,000 in 2026. Now, I put out my 12-month target price every Saturday in my newsletter. 12 months from now, they see it at 8,000. Well, you know what? That's dang, you've got to be using the multiple. When that multiple gets to 23 forward PE, I see the market start to crumble. And that's what happened 2 weeks ago, and that's what happened in 2021. Also, Deutsche Bank's got to be using the PE up around 25 or 26. To get to an 8,000 target price. So I think that's way inflated there. But Deutsche's got their economist, and they've got their market strategist, and they've got their chief investment officers and all this and that. And they're calling for 8,000, which is the highest. But I will say this, the consensus estimate for the next 12 months right now for the S&P is 7,900. And, you know, I think we've been going through this correction in the AI stocks. We're in a bear market for Bitcoin. I don't see a bear market on the horizon for the stock market at this point in time. We're going through a healthy correction, and it just seems like when we get to that 23 and bang our head on that forward PE, the market backs off. The good news is we finished Friday at 21.5 forward PE. So that gives us a little room to move, not a lot. It gives us a little wiggle room. We're not at that ceiling of 23. We're at 21.5. And a lot of times you get down in the 21 area and you see a rally in the market, and that's what you're seeing right now today. I would rather get it down even lower than that, and I'd like to get interest rates down so we can bring that would also help the multiple expand a little bit, give it a little more wiggle room. But they're at 8,000. The consensus is 7,900. I'm not up there in that range. Otherwise, I'd have to be using some multiple that is way beyond what I think is reasonable. Now, here's the stock of the day. Over the weekend, let's see, who was it? It was Benioff, your friend Benioff over at Salesforce, who's a member of the Dow. He's had a terrible year. The stock's down 33%, member of the Dow. He tried out Alphabet Release, their new AI model, the latest version, Gemini 3. He tried it out over the weekend. And he was so impressed, he went on X with an expletive deleted saying, "This absolutely blows ChatGPT, which is a Microsoft product, out of the water." After he used Gemini 3, and guess what? Google is up again big today. Google has been just on a tear recently. We made a very timely buy on Google. I haven't tried Gemini. I've been using Grok lately. We'll be right back. You got it. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Best chart I've seen in the market today so far, Jeff, would be the company formerly known as Google, now known as Alphabet. Look at that breakout today to a new 52-week, no, a new all-time high at $315.35. Alphabet has now joined the $3.8 trillion. It's in the $3.8 trillion. I believe it's past Apple now. Apple is Apple's at $4 trillion. But Google has come out of nowhere. And, you know, that was kind of the knock. That was what was holding Google back, was they were way behind on AI. But guess what? They were quietly working away. Never count Google or Alphabet out. I say the same thing about Meta. And you know who's this advance in Alphabet, this stock has basically doubled since June, and we've been riding a big chunk of this wave in Google. We bought it in our Premier Growth, and we still own it, and we bought it in our relative value fund portfolio, breaking out to a new high as Benioff raves. He says the Gemini 3 is miles ahead of ChatGPT. Okay, I use ChatGPT.
Now you can hook it. Yeah, you can hook it directly into your Chrome browser, Bill, and it's right there for you. So it's pretty convenient to be able to utilize it.
Well, I'm going to try it. I am using AI a lot more than I used to. I really like Grok. The thing I like about Grok is it's so clean and so concise. ChatGPT I like, but I like Grok better. I have not tried Gemini 3, but I'm going to try it.
Benioff, it's right there.
You know, Benioff ought to know a thing or two about software and AI. That's a pretty big endorsement. His endorsement alone today is driving this stock up 5.2%. And I got to tell you, it's coming at the expense of Microsoft stock, which has been in a pretty steep downtrend here. Microsoft's gone from an all-time high of 553 recently. Google has now passed Microsoft in market cap. Google or Microsoft is down about $75 a share. That's about a 13% sell-off. Microsoft is now sitting on its 200-day moving average, which usually is a pretty good buy point if you're a fan of ChatGPT and Microsoft. Microsoft is no slouch. They're still expecting 18% growth this year, 17% growth next year, which isn't bad for a mega stock like this. But definitely the advance in Alphabet stock here recently has really come at the expense of Microsoft. And there's fuel on the fire today being thrown on it by Mark Benioff with his glowing. He switched. He basically, I'm making the switch away from ChatGPT. That's like, one of these NBA players switching from Under Armour
to Nike or whatever, right?
Yeah, some big star. Okay, let's take a look. That's good news, though, on Google. I'm glad to see that. That's helping us, our accounts here today.
Speaking of fuel on the fire, Bill, did you see what, President Trump was talking about, how expensive all this health care are? You know, one of our former holdings, Oscar Health, is way up right now.
Really?
For whatever reason. I mean, well, it's 21.5% right now.
Man, that maybe he's going to give them a little bit of a, you know, that's the Kushners are involved in that. And the former CEO of Aetna, who's quite a crackerjack CEO, Mario Bertoli, I think it is. Yeah, maybe he's going to involve, and I'm sure he's consulting with Bertoli a lot, because Bertoli was the CEO of Aetna, which got bought out by CVS. CVS decided to get into the healthcare insurance business, which was much to their demise. They're no longer in the Dow. And they wanted to do the clinics, in-store clinics and all this and that, and none of that really panned out for them. That's interesting that Oscar is up. Yeah. Over the weekend,
and
too.
And then Novo also, Bill, they bombed this.
Yeah,
this
you know what?
They failed on their Alzheimer.
Yeah, but the Alzheimer's, you know what? They were just doing tests to see whether or not Ozempic, which is meant for diabetes and weight loss, they said, well, maybe it will help with Alzheimer's. I see that as a buying opportunity in Novo Nordisk.
Yep.
We don't currently own it, but, man, the P.E. ratio on that thing is ridiculous right now. And I think it's about 9 or 10. And Wegovy still works, almost as good as Zepbound. But for whatever reason, that stock has just been under heavy pressure. And I think a 10% sell-off because it doesn't work for Alzheimer's, that was a shot in the dark. I mean, they were just going to say, hey, we think maybe it might help Alzheimer's.
They did call it a lottery ticket, so I guess that is the proverbial shot in the dark, right?
I don't think it's fair that it's getting hit this hard. I do see, too, that over the weekend, Elon is really cleaning up the bots on X. That's a good move by him. It now will show you how long that bot or whatever it is that's chiming in on your comments on X. It will show you how long they've been on there and blah, blah, a lot of statistics, and you'll be able to identify it as a bot instead of a person, which is a little bit on the scary side. You could be communicating with a bot. You could be dating a bot, Jeff, online with some of these guys out there on the internet. Raymond James says that NVIDIA and AMD still have room to move, room to run. I totally agree with that. But I think there's still some downside pressure and downside risk on them. The big three really are AMD, NVIDIA, and Broadcom. Okay. There's something about days sales at their point. Oh, we're out of time. I can't get into that story at all. But anyways, it was about NVIDIA, which is kind of dead in the water right now. All right. Well, you know what? It's a good time. I think there's going to be another big buying opportunity in tech when this sell-off is over, when crypto kind of regains its sea legs, etc. You should be getting that newsletter every week. Go to GundersonCapital.com. And, you know, look, what did your advisor do for you this past year? I don't know. But if you want to get a second opinion or you're not happy, talk to us. Make an appointment, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or start up with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.